Well, let's come then to the Word of God and consider something of a message then from this Christmas account. I've been quite struck really reading through these passages again this Christmas time at how much we see of the angels. It's striking, isn't it, how much we see of them. And when you think about the angels and they're ever in the presence of God, to think that they should come into this world and herald this birth in this way, it draws our attention, doesn't it, to the events that took place. We know what a remarkable event it was, the Lord Jesus coming into this world. We've seen his humility. We've seen him coming not as the King of Kings. We've seen him coming, don't we, in all those humble circumstances, and yet attended with the very angels of heaven. Amazing thing it is. Remember when the Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry, had numbers of those who were his enemies, really, those that opposed him. We had the Pharisees, of course, who considered themselves to be very religious. And, of course, they not only thought that they kept all of God's law perfectly, but they added all their own little rules and regulations as well. But they were the enemies of the Lord and opposed him. So he had opposition from the religious of the land. He had opposition from the Herodians. Remember the Herodians? That's the political class. Those are the ones who supported the dynasty of the Herods. We read of the Herods, that family of kings who there served the Romans and were disliked, really, by the Jews, and yet they were there united with others of the Lord's enemies in opposing our Lord, not willing to see another leader appearing in the nation, gathering great multitudes after them. So the Herodians were in opposition. And then there was a third group. Remember the Sadducees? A group of people there who, again, very different from the other two. They were those who denied much of Scripture. You might compare them to many people that we would come across today. Perhaps with a semblance of religiosity, but denied much of the Scriptures. Didn't believe in the resurrection. Remember how the Lord dealt with them. And an afterlife, that we have a spirit that goes on into eternity, denied all that, and denied the existence of angels. Denied the existence of angels. And here we're at this time of the coming of our Lord Jesus, we see all these appearances of angels, and yet here we're a group of people who were determined, weren't they, to deny the very existence of these angels. I want us to come this evening to see something of the work of God's angelic host in drawing our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, that great mission that the angels of old had and still do have, angels from the realms of glory. There are three particular roles of the angels that I want us to consider this evening as we come to consider how they draw attention to our Saviour. The first thing that we read of the angels, we find in Psalm 103, where we find that the angels there are described as those that do God's bidding. So Psalm 103 and verse 20, and we read, it says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." These are those that go at God's command, serving God, hearkening unto him, doing his commandments. They're those that obey the Lord and are sent at his bidding. The second great work, of course, of the angels was as messengers. Well, the word really means, isn't it? Heralds, messengers, conveyors of good news. Those that would come and bring a message from God. So sometimes they were sent to do his bidding. Sometimes they were sent with specific messages. That's, of course, what we see particularly at the Christmas account, isn't it? The passage that we read earlier that speak of the angels coming with a message from God, and we'll also come to have a look at that. But notice how earlier on we find that as the angel Gabriel even says as much in Luke's Gospel chapter 1 when he appeared to Zacharias in the temple at the promise of the coming of John the Baptist there. So Luke 1 verse 19, the angel said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings, this good news. He was one who stands in the presence of God. The angels of God are there in the very presence of God. He was the angel Gabriel from the very presence of God, sent with a message, glad tidings. So the angels are those that convey messages from God that we're then to pay heed to. Of course, the Lord, down through the Old Testament and the period of the Israelites, sent his word via the prophets. Very often the prophets would come with a burden of the Lord, with a message from God. But there were those occasions where an angel would be sent, when there were those special occasions where God was conveying his message with particular attention to draw people's attention to. And then, of course, the third great work of the angels. What is it? It's to glorify God, to worship God, to offer him praise in heaven. And that's what the angels in heaven do. Now, you remember in our series in the book of Revelation, we saw that, didn't we, a number of times. That's the great activity of the angels in heaven. Revelation chapter 7, we could look at as an example of this, Revelation 7 and verse 12. And here's a picture of a description of the angels that John has in his vision. Or it could begin at verse 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. It's a great work of the angels in heaven, to worship God, to bring praise and worship to him that is fitting him. And as we have our attention drawn to these aspects of the work and role of angelic beings, it's those things that should weigh upon us and say, do we in any sense take part in this? Pay heed to these things. Hear the word of God. Join in this worship that we have set before us in this way. So what I want us to do is then, on those three sort of catches, look at how it is that the angels particularly draw attention to the Lord Jesus. Now, you need to set aside all your thoughts of caricatures of angels. There's much, isn't there, that is foolish, with pictures and drawings of angels and caricatures of angels. The scriptures don't tell us very much at all about the physical appearance of angels. Sometimes when they appeared in the Old Testament, they would appear as men. Sometimes it appears men with garments that were shining and glorious, but very often when these angels appeared, it struck fear into those that saw them. The angels, quite often, even in the passage here, had to say, fear not. There's something that's glorious and awe-inspiring, and yet they appear as men. But they come to do the Lord's bidding. Now, so firstly, I want us to see how they draw attention to the Lord Jesus. We'd already remarked, haven't we, in Luke chapter 1. Before the Lord's birth, the angels came, spoke to John the Baptist about the coming of John the Baptist. But, of course, as we read earlier, they came to Joseph, came to Mary, speaking about this one that she was to bear, speaking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. We find in Luke 2, when we read that account of the angels on the hillside, when the shepherds are there on the hills, we find the angel of the Lord comes to herald the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ there, and how he was to be laid in that manger in Bethlehem. And then there's a whole choir of angels, a whole multitude of angels appearing, all praising God, drawing attention to this event that's taken place, the coming of our Lord Jesus. And then as you go on through the Lord's ministry, you remember there are other occasions. You remember how the Lord, as he began his earthly ministry after his baptism, and we saw something of this, didn't we, and as we've been going through our Gospel of Luke in our other series, that we find that he was driven into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil as part of that testing, that proving, that declaring that our Lord Jesus Christ was one who could bear all the onslaughts of the evil one and be victorious, who was to be one tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But he was there as a real man, for 40 days and 40 nights there in the wilderness, hungering. And we read that after their temptations, and when Satan departs and leaves him, having found no way that he could actually gain a victory over the Lord, then we read that angels came, Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Here are the angels that go at God's bidding, that do his will, go at his command, and they've been sent to strengthen the Lord Jesus, to help him here in his very physical need there, his suffering. You see, the focus of the angelic beings is centered upon the Lord Jesus. And then we find, as we come towards the end of our Lord's earthly ministry, you remember how it was that the Lord entered into the Garden of Gethsemane, and the awfulness of the prospect of what was to take place weighed upon him. Not just the physical suffering of the crucifixion, but the real suffering that was to take place, to bear the sins of his people, to bear the punishment of his loving Heavenly Father. There in the Godhead, that unity of love that had never been broken, but there was to come that point where he would cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And as the awful heaviness of that weighed upon him, we find that his sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And we read on that occasion in the Garden of Gethsemane that an angel came, Luke chapter 22 and verse 43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. See, again, as the whole purpose of our Lord's coming into this world is beginning to take place here. His sufferings are beginning in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that prospect of going to the cross where he says, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. If this cup could pass from me, let it pass. But the answer was no. He had to go through these things. And an angel comes to strengthen him. Those that do God's bidding, go at his will, at his command, sent to strengthen the Lord Jesus as he enters upon this great, awful suffering that was to take place. You see, so many occasions down through the Lord's life. Now, in the Old Testament, you might get the occasion when an angel might appear with a message and a mission, but to have an individual like this, the Lord Jesus, time and again knew the ministering help of these angelic beings. And then, of course, we come, don't we, to the Lord's resurrection and the resurrection morn. And again, those are occasions where angels were there, where the grieving disciples, where the women went to the tomb and the disciples found an empty tomb, and angels met them and said, why seek ye the dead amongst the living? He is not here, he is risen. Here again were the angels sent by God to comfort the Lord's people regarding their Saviour, regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't remain in the grave, and he's not missing. He is risen. He's the one who is now alive, who was dead. But that's not the end, is it? We find, don't we, at the Lord's ascension, when it was that he'd called his disciples together to be with him for that last few moments upon earth, and we read, don't we, was taken up into heaven in the Gospel of in the book of Acts, and Acts chapter 1, and we find, don't we, that as the Lord is taken up into heaven, the disciples are gazing heavenwards, and we read here of these. Now, it doesn't say that they're angels, but they clearly aren't. They suddenly, it says, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. One of the descriptions that we have, don't we, when angels appear here on earth, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. See, here's the Lord Jesus, even at his ascension. Again, angels appearing to comfort the Lord's people, but to speak of the Lord Jesus, to speak of his coming to this world, speak of his ascension, speak of him returning again someday. And of course, that was something that the Lord Jesus himself referred to. And of course, this is an event yet to come, when the Lord will one day return again. What is it the Lord Jesus himself told us of that? Well, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 31, we find that the Lord Jesus spoke of these things. And sorry, I've got the wrong verse there, haven't I? It's not verse 31. But where the Lord Jesus spoke about how these angels would come again when he returns. He said he will come in his glory and all his holy angels with him. Lord's going to return, and all his holy angels with him. You see, how the angels are those whose whole focus is to draw our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we must do. We come to this Christmas account and we read it, we're familiar with it. When we read of an angel appearing in glory to the shepherds, we read of a host of angels coming, and we take it so easily and casually. Our attention is to be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we're also told that was something that occupied the angels themselves. The angels of God are beings who can inquire into these things. Peter says this in his epistle, where he describes how the angels of God inquire into these events that we are remembering: the coming of our Lord, his death upon the cross at Calvary, all that our Lord came to do. 1 Peter and chapter 1 and verse 12. Notice what it says here of these angels. It's speaking there of at the beginning there, the prophets of old. It says, the prophets unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The angels, they desire to look into these things that are preached and declared and set before us. They want to understand this as well. So these angels in glory, whose great work it is to go at God's bidding, and then particularly when our Lord came into this world, had so much to do, heralding his birth, announcing his arrival, helping him on that time of temptation, helping him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there heralding his resurrection, there at his ascension. They inquire into these things. The passages that we read earlier that speak of the events that took place there in Bethlehem at the coming of their Lord. Notice what we read there. The shepherds, when they heard these things, they said, let us now go and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. They wanted to see and understand. The angels inquire into these things. The shepherds heard about these things and wanted to investigate. And then later on it says of Mary, she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Really, this is a challenge to us, isn't it? How much do we inquire into these things? How much do we ponder these things? How much do we seek after these things? Like the shepherds, they've heard some of this, and they were desirous to know more of these things that the Lord has made known to them. And then they spread it abroad, and others, they were amazed when they heard these things. They wondered at the things told them. Are we filled with wonder? Have we lost that sense of wonder? Have we lost that sense of amazement at what took place? The Son of God becoming man in his humility, laid in a manger, but then going to the cross at Calvary and suffering there for his people, bearing the sins of his people, bearing the punishment of God, and now ascended at God's right hand. These are things we should revel in. We should long to hear more of, want to hear more of, and be disappointed when we don't. Do we ever come to a service where the word of God is preached and Christ is not in it? What a disappointment that should be. It should be like those of old that went to Philip, said, sir, we would see Jesus. And he should be the one that we're always desirous to see. Well, the angels in heaven, they draw our attention to that here. And their very work is to say that Christ is to be the object of your affection, your inquiring, your wonder, your worship. These are the things that we're to be taken up with. But then we come then to see, secondly, their second great work was as heralds, as messengers. Well, we have a lovely message here, don't we, in Luke chapter 2. What do the angels say here? Verse 10, we know these words so well, but we need to look at them again. The angel said unto them, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy. See, the angels are messengers with news from God. And here they said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This is good news. The things that we've been already speaking of, the coming of the Lord Jesus, his going to the cross at Calvary, yes, the dreadfulness of his suffering, He's bearing the punishment of his heavenly Father. That's good news. It's good news to us, to people, to all people. It's a message to be proclaimed. This is a good news that brings great joy, because it brings us that understanding that there is a way to be forgiven, a way to be at peace with God, a way to know sins dealt with. We could never do that. We couldn't take our own sins away. We could never earn a merit in the face of a holy, perfect God. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in his sight. There's good news here. It brings great joy. He says, it shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. We alluded to this morning. We spoke about this morning, didn't we? This is the heart of the good news. We have a Saviour. We need a Saviour. We're sinners. The Bible tells us that we are dead in trespasses and sins. We're lifeless. We have no spiritual life. We have no spiritual understanding of these things. We need the Lord to do that work in our hearts, to implant in our hearts that love for him. We need him to take away that heart of stone, to give us that heart of flesh. We need him to write in our hearts that love for him, that we might know his love first for us and return a love for him. We need the Saviour, and he's none other than Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the promised one, the one who was long foretold through the scriptures, God keeping his promises. In the fullness of time he comes, and is the Lord. He's the Lord of glory. Here is no creator being. Here is no archangel, as some of the sects and cults would tell us. Here is not one who was simply created for this purpose. Here is the eternal Son of God, one with the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's Christ the Lord. He's worthy of our praise. And when the angels hear, they have this whole choir that joins with them, praising God. We can see that here is God at work and is to be praised. They're heralds. These angels are heralds of good news, heralds of a message which draws us to see Christ and what he'd come to do and fulfill, and to be those that would again inquire into these things and know the joy, know the salvation, turn unto him and rejoice that yes, he's a God who's faithful, never turns away those who come in faith to the Lord. Well, these are things that thrill our souls. The third great work of these angelic beings, of course, was to praise and worship God. We saw that in Revelation. That's their great work, has been for eternity, to praise and worship God, to offer praise unto him. And here we find that heavenly choir, that which was there in glory, was sent down to this world. And here we have this. It says a multitude, verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So those who are there in heaven, those whose great work is to be around the throne, those that we see in Revelation, gathered around the throne, around the elders and the beasts that worship God, they've been sent to this world to bring that same glorious praise and worship, and to bring it so that these humble shepherds could see it, and so that people such as us could read of this and say, yes, this that took place is to the glory of God in the highest. It's of the highest praise to God. Those that were attendant to God in glory around the throne, who praised this holy, infinite God with all his majesty, came to this earth to continue that praise and worship and adoration here in this sin-sick world. Why? Because the Lord of glory was here. Because the Lord Jesus Christ had come into this world. And so God, in all his glory, in the highest of his glory, had done a work here that was worthy of the angelic host coming and singing praise. See, these are things that should draw us to worship God, to say, if God should send this heavenly choir, should send his angelic beings who are there around the throne, send them to this earth to sing of these things, to praise God, then we should be a people who are determined to praise God for what he has done in sending the Lord Jesus Christ into this world and sending us a Savior, that we have this great proclamation of peace, of goodwill, of a way to be at peace with God, to be right with God. And this is to God's highest glory and praise and honor. How do we respond to these things? These things should, I trust, move us to be filled with wonder what God has done, to wish that we could worship him more perfectly, to wish that we could, with a deeper understanding, bring glory and praise to him. But it draws our attention to the wonder of the gospel message, that this message that's to be proclaimed, that sinners might be saved, that the Lord should gather in his people, shows that this is the highest work that God has purposed for us to be engaged in. If the coming of the Lord Jesus as our Redeemer, as our Savior, is that brought all the attention of the angelic beings in this way, then the Lord's work of saving sinners, of dying upon the cross at Calvary, that great gospel message is that which we should be taken up with proclaiming and being thrilled with and being filled with joy at. That first good tidings of great joy that the angels began is something that the Lord's people are taken up with. And so as the Lord was about to return to heaven, he commissioned his apostles. He said that he sends them into all the world. And the message goes to all of the Lord's people to bring that great message of salvation. You know, the angels, though, are still involved in this. Notice what it is that the Lord Jesus says in Luke chapter 15. Remember those lovely descriptions of how the Lord spoke those parables of those seeking the lost thing. There was the woman who'd lost the silver coin, he goes searching for it. There's the man who's lost one of his sheep, and he finds it. In Luke 15, the Lord gives his own application, his own underlying reason for his parable. So in Luke 15 and verse 7, I say unto you that likewise, this is the shepherd who was rejoicing in his one lost sheep being found, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Just one sinner who repents here upon earth, that which the angels inquired into, that which the angels heralded and proclaimed, the coming of a Savior into this world to save sinners. It says, when a sinner repents, there's joy in heaven. Look what it says further. In verse 10, after his next little parable of the woman with the 10 silver coins, likewise, he says in verse 10, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. What a glorious thing to think that which was begun there in the hills of Bethlehem with the angels praising God, that this Son of God, that for eternity they've been around, haven't they, and praising, had come into this world to save sinners. And now, as such sinners are saved, as they repent and are drawn to his kingdom, there's joy in heaven. Joy in the presence of the angels. The angels still, now, inquiring into these things, engaged in these things, interested in these things, filled with joy in these things, to know that the Son of God, the Lamb of God, has indeed accomplished that at Calvary, but is even now gathering in his people, one by one, just one sinner that repents, joy in heaven. One sinner that repents, joy in the presence of the angels of God. What a glorious thing it is to feel that we can be a part of joy in heaven when we ourselves proclaim the message, speak of the joy that we know, the peace that we know if we're those who have come to trust the Lord, and to enjoy, tell others that they can know this forgiveness of sins, this peace with God, and then all the thrill of a sinner repenting and coming to know the Lord. Is that something that we're thrilled with? We should be. The angels in heaven are. We should be equally thrilled and filled with praise and wonder. Well, those are those three great categories that I wanted us to consider of the angels, those three great works that they have. They go to do his bidding, And we see it in the life of the Lord Jesus. They drew attention to the Lord and his coming, his ministry, his resurrection, his ascension. We've seen them as heralds. They begun the heralding of this message of good news, good tidings, of great joy. We've seen them as those that worship and praise God, glorifying his name. We too should be those that desire to praise and glorify God in that way. But there's one last work, and I wonder if anybody has thought as we've been entering this, there's something I've missed out about the work of God's angels. Perhaps you're already aware of what it is. And it's one that we need to address. It's very solemn. The angels also come to bring God's judgments. Remember how in the Old Testament we read, don't we, Sodom and Gomorrah, just the angels that came on that occasion. And that was a solemn judgment of God. The Lord Jesus himself spoke about this in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 13. There is one last word, though they are thrilled and they're filled with praise at all that accomplishes upon earth a gathering of his people. They have one more job to do at the end of time. Matthew chapter 13. And notice what the Lord Jesus himself said here. In verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. You remember how he's speaking of that parable of the tares and the wheat in the world, in the field. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus himself, shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's a very solemn challenge to us at the end, isn't it? How have we responded? Shepherds inquired of these things. Mary pondered these things. People wondered at this message, the message that the angels first brought. And here the Lord speaks of what it will be like at the end of time for those who have neglected these things, who remained in rebellion, remained as enemies, remained as those who have refused to come for forgiveness of sins, refused to acknowledge that they even need this. The Lord will send forth those same angels that proclaimed Messiah's birth, that sang praises unto him, that inquire into this amazing plan of redemption, that are filled with joy when a sinner repents, will come forth at the Lord's bidding at the end of time to gather in all that offends, casting them into that furnace of fire where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, we need to sound that appeal, don't we? We need to say it again. Don't delay. Now is the day of salvation. Come unto him now. Seek him, and you'll find him. Call upon him while he is near. Well, these are solemn things, but oh, for those who have come and known the Lord Jesus as their Saviour and rejoice in these things, oh, how it thrills us, doesn't it, to be reminded again of all that our Lord accomplished at Calvary. Well, may each one of us here this day and all that hear this message be those that don't leave it another moment, but come to the Lord. Know that forgiveness of sins. Know that joy, that great joy that the angel spoke of. Good tidings, good news of great joy. Don't neglect these things. There is great joy in knowing forgiveness of sins and peace with God. Amen.